We're doing our class on the Jewish home. I can't believe you did that. Have you ever heard someone tell you that line? How do you feel when someone tells you that? I said it and every one of you was wondering who I'm talking to, right? How do you feel? There are sentences that we're accustomed to saying. And as part of our preparation for marriage, it would pay to take a step back and ask ourselves, are there sentences that we say that really it would be a good idea to change the habit and stop saying? Very often we have certain sentences or reactions that are just a part of how we behave. There are people who say, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Now that's a cop-out, so resist. There are people who say, I have a juicy piece of Lashon Hara to tell you. There are people who lower their voice and then say Lashon Hara as though it's perfectly okay to say Lashon Hara when you whisper it. There are all kinds of habits that a person can develop over time, and we all get accustomed to our own habits. But sometimes there are sentences that we say that really affect our relationships with other people. I'll give you an example. There was a person who used to say, nah, get out of here. Okay. There was a person who said in conversation, I'm going to die if you don't do this. Now, when they got married and they tried that line on their husband once, their husband sort of said, what do you want? And a very big rift developed between them because she used that line, give it to me or I'm going to die. And he said, excuse me, I'm not God, I can't give it to you, and I don't know what you want for my life. We use lines sometimes, and we give ourselves license to say things that really can be very destructive. I once taught in a high school where one kid would always tell another specific guy in his class, you should drop dead. He didn't like the guy, and he would often tell him, you should drop dead. Again, this is a high school I taught in. In 12th grade, one bright day, the other kid dropped dead. Now, I'm not saying his words caused it, but I don't know till today how that kid lives with himself. I don't know. You know, their Bon Shom sent them a pretty big test here. He spent his high school years telling this other kid, you should drop dead, and now he has to live the rest of his life knowing the guy dropped dead. We could look at ourselves now and think about our habits of speech. And it's a very good idea to try to figure out what are the things that we say that might not be so comfortable to be on the receiving end of that line. Very often it's a line that we've heard at home. Very often it's a line that we feel comfortable, even cool, using. But very often that very line can be very destructive as we try to build a relationship. It pays to stop and think about it. Usually, people don't. They just run into marriage and they continue the life they're used to leading beforehand. And then things reach explosions. You guys have the opportunity to think about it. Think about what lines you're using. One of the scary things you will see as parents, and this is also true as educators, one of the scary things is that people cling to lines that we say and they can change their life and they can change their self-image and we didn't even realize we said it. I'll tell you a quick story I heard this morning. There's a big rabbi that I know And I knew that when he was a youngster, he was a pretty rowdy child, and he went to a not-so-exciting elementary school. And I never knew how he went from being in a basic or less than basic elementary school to a much better high school, and then went on to learn and learn and learn until he's the head of a very big community today. And I always wondered, and I happened to hear the story this morning. He was a regular teenager. He was 12, turning on 13. And then his bar mitzvah happened. And at his bar mitzvah, he gave a speech. And his parents, very simple Jews, and he was a regular guy in a regular school, in a regular class, making regular trouble. When he ended the speech, one man from the crowd went over to his father, one of the guests, and said, "You know your son just gave an amazing speech?" So the father goes, "Yeah." So he says, "No, you don't understand. Your son just spoke? That was amazing. That was amazing. This kid has talent. This kid, I'm telling you, don't waste it. This kid has potential. I'm telling you, this is not an ordinary child. You have a gift God gave you in this child. You better think 10 times about what high school you're sending him to, because this child has real potential. That was amazing. Mazel tov, goodbye." And the guy left. End the story. The kid heard it and went on with his life. The father heard it and said, "Oh boy, I got a good son here. I better rethink where I'm sending him to high school." And the rest is history. They took him out of the high school they had planned on sending him to. They enrolled him in a top high school, and he continued soaring till today, where, Baruch Hashem, there are thousands of Jews that wait. He's their rabbi. Where did it all start?
Just high school?
Yeah, where did it all start? Someone chose to come out of the sidelines and say a very positive line to the father. And the father took it to heart. We want to be a source of blessing to the world. Everyone wants to be a source of blessing to the world. We want to be a source of blessing to our spouse. We want to be a source of blessing to our kids. We want a home that is blessed. Well, it begins with the question of, am I going to be a source of blessing? The greatest tool that every one of us has is our speech. When we choose to use that in a positive way, to compliment people, to show appreciation, true appreciation, to be able to say positive things about people, to find the opportunities to compliment people. It devastates me every time I see that a guy is called as a reference for his friends. His friend starts dating, and they call the guy and they ask him, "What can you tell me about your friend?" And most of the people say, "I don't know. I'm not good at this." Stop. Wait, that's not an excuse. You should be able to say so many good things about your friend. This is your friend. You're a reference. You've been learning with this guy in yeshiva. So stop for a minute, get your thoughts together, and be positive. We have to be able to speak positively about people. Ketzad merakdim nifnei kala. You guys remember last week we spoke about that? How do we dance in front of the kala? Kala na v'chasuda. We have to compliment her. Well, you know what? Compliments are the building bricks of marriage. If you can compliment your wife in a way that she's convinced you're sincere, you have the formula for a happy marriage. If you can make her feel loved, cherished, appreciated, she'll put up with everything else. Believe me, this is the key. I remember I told you guys the story about the therapist. Yeah? There was an amazing physical therapist. I have a relative. I told you the story, right? Her husband, the artiste, who gets up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? But he knows how to compliment her. So she's working from 6 o'clock in the morning to fund his artistic tendencies, because at 1 o'clock he gets his inspiration and he comes out of bed and draws another two lines on the painting, only to go back and wait for the next inspiration. But she's willing to do it because he can make her feel like $1 million, because he can give her the compliments that ring true. Because when he gets on the phone with her, he tells her, "Oh, my flower, how are your petals doing today? The sun is shining, and all I can think about is how it affects you." He can talk to her about how beautiful and gentle and sweet and wonderful she is, and it talks to her heart. Well, we have to learn how to do that. That's what's going to make your spouse happy. That's what's going to make your marriage happy. Hi, guys. Yeah. This involves talking.
How did you learn how to do that type of thing?
Who said I learned? I'm still learning.
I mean, you learn by experience, you said?
Work on it. Try to be positive to the people you know.
Okay.
I'll give you a few examples.
Like, oh my.
I'll give you a few examples.
How are your petals doing? Like,
no.
Where does one come up with that?
You ate dinner tonight?
Yes.
What would happen if we'd go to the kitchen and tell the staff, "Thank you very much, that was delicious"? We eat dinner, you eat breakfast and lunch. What would happen if one day you'd walk over to Rav Bigun and say, "You know, I'm learning in this yeshiva and I've gained so much out of it"? What would happen if you take the time to write a letter? There are countless opportunities every day to express our appreciation. It can be to Rav Bigun, it can be to Rav Listman, it can be to your Chavrusa. Appreciation is like a muscle. You use it, it gets stronger. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. The more you decide you're going to apply your appreciation, the more you'll learn how to use it correctly. You get off a bus, you can say, "Thank you, I'm going to tell you an amazing story. My wife had just given birth. It was 3 years ago. I was dealing with all the kids. I was taking them to Gan. It was a rainy day. I had a bunch of little kids with me. It was pouring. There was a bus stop. It was 7 footsteps from where I was to the bus stop. The driver saw me. He's coming to the bus stop, and I'm trying to run with the little kids to make the bus. If I miss him, I'm in the rain for the next 25 minutes with the kids. He sees me, but I'm not at the bus stop. It's another 5 footsteps. If he would have stopped, by the time he opened the door, I'd be there. But he decided he's not stopping. And I got drenched. I spent the next 25 minutes, it didn't pay to wait for the next bus. I walked the kids all the way up, each one to their gun. Had to go home fully drenched. And there went an hour of my day. And I saw the bus driver, and he saw me. And now I waited for the next opportunity I'm going to see that driver. He saw me. He could have stopped. It was just cruelty. Why not? And I knew this driver. He was always an uptight guy, always unpleasant. Every time you boarded a bus, he had a nasty comment to say. And I was telling myself, what's going to be the next time he stops the bus? What's going to be the next time I board and he's the driver? And I kept playing out different scenarios in my mind. I said, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what you're supposed to do, right? And I was hoping I'd catch him that same day. Because that day, boy, did I have what to tell him. But Hashem took care of me and I didn't. I had time to calm down. And a few weeks later, I'm at the bus stop and he pulls up again. And I'm there with one of the little kids and the door opens. And I'm telling myself, I'm going to be a very nice guy. I have to be a nice guy. I can't look the guy in the face. So I look down to the kid and I say, "There's our favorite driver." He's the one that's always so nice. And I can't look at the driver still. And I finally pick up my head to pay him. And I see he's radiating. The guy is shining. He is in seventh heaven. This is a guy that when a 90-year-old man boards his bus, he hits the gas. He doesn't care if the guy is falling or standing. No one matters. But when I'm there after I said that, for the remainder of his period as the driver of that route, he hasn't been there for years. The remainder of his period, he remembered that line. When I would come on the bus, I'd get a smile. No one else got a smile. I could see. I'd leave the front, he'd start griping at everyone that was there. I'd come to the front, smile turns on. I guess he never got a compliment in his life, right? So he remembered the one he got. Suddenly our relationship changed. Now I still know what type of guy he is. But he got a compliment. Now I'm a different person in his life. I stand out. It matters to him. You know, I've had Arab bus drivers hold up the whole bus for me. I used to take a 6 bus from Katamon to the bridge over here. Back then, I don't know if it goes that route. There was an Arab bus driver. His name was Anati. If he'd see me way down the path, he'd hold up the whole bus. I'm coming. Because I asked him his name, and I tell him good morning, and I tell him good night, and I knew him by name. And when he'd be missing for a month, I'd say, hi, welcome back. I was nice to him. And I found a way to be positive about the work he was doing for me. I was once on a bus, and I hadn't collected all my belongings. And the bus came to the stop of our house, and he stopped. So I figured, okay, I'll get off at the next stop. And I'm collecting my stuff slowly. I figure I have another minute till the next stop. And after about 5 seconds, the driver says, I'm sorry, aren't you getting off? Isn't this your stop? So I look at this Arab, and I'm thinking, I don't know him. How does he know where I live? And it scared me for a minute. And then I realized, I speak nicely to him when I get on the bus. I speak nicely to him when I get off the bus. I try to show appreciation for the work he does. So he stopped next to my house. The whole bus is waiting. I didn't realize he was stopped. I didn't ring the bell. I didn't ask him to stop. I thought someone else was getting off the bus. And he's holding up the whole bus, so I should take my stuff off and get off the bus. When we show appreciation to people, I showed up to a bris in a yeshiva a month ago. All the kitchen staff came out like I was a celebrity, right? The whole kitchen staff, they're all telling one another, he's here, he's here. And suddenly all the rabbis are standing there, no one knows who's the he. And they all come straight to me, right? Rabbi, how are you? And why? Because 20 years ago I was in that yeshiva. And I didn't end the meal without going into the kitchen and telling them the food was delicious and thanking them. So 20 years have passed since then. I showed up to a bris. Now, during Pesach, during Sukkot, there was a bris here in the neighborhood. I showed up to the yeshiva, and the whole kitchen staff comes out. They remember to compliment 20 years later. Literally 20 years. So we have tremendous strength in our ability to compliment. People will remember it their whole lives. We have to use it in our homes. The way to use it is to become accustomed to using it. We have to try to find opportunities to say positive things to people. It lightens up people's day. You called your parents. Hi, Dad, how are you? Why don't you try saying, hi, Dad, I was waiting to hear your voice. Make them feel important in your life. It's a world of a difference. The whole day I wanted to share this with you. Now you're important to me. I wanted you to hear this. We have to work on learning to express positive emotion, positive feedback, compliments. We all need it. Everyone wants to hear it. And when you learn to use it, then you will become memorable to people. Because unfortunately, we live in a world where people don't do this. People walk around their whole life waiting for a compliment. Someone should notice them. Tell me I'm special. Tell me I'm smart. Tell me I'm unique. Tell me you enjoy me. Tell me you like me. Tell me I'm different than everyone else. Tell me I'm not just another face. We all yearn for it. Everyone wants to feel it. No one wants to feel like they're meaningless. Well, how do I know I'm not meaningless? If I mean something to you, then I'm not meaningless. The fact that I mean something to me, everyone means something to themselves. But if someone else thinks I'm worth something, then I start having value. And the secret in marriage is that that's what we all want in marriage. You want to feel that in the other person's life, you are the most valuable player. Shlomo HaMelech put it so aptly in the Song of Songs. What did he say? Achati yonati tamati. My beloved is singular. It's not your one of a crowd. It's you. My dove. My whole one. Can we express that to someone? There are points where I think you're amazing. You are singular. You are unique. When we compliment, that's what we're telling someone. I have an appreciation for this aspect of who you are. And we all yearn to hear that. It gives us a feeling that gives us strength for a very long time when someone can tell us that. We hear positive, now I'm worth something. And we all need it. Everyone needs it. It doesn't matter how great you are. We all need that positive feedback. We live on it. It gives us the energy to deal with the rest of life. And so when we talk about building marriage, we began our discussion today with the lines that we might be accustomed to saying that are hurtful, that are destructive. I can't believe you did that. Remember how we started? Okay? And we've evolved into the positive, the ability to say positive lines, compliment, show appreciation, which is how we connect to everyone. It's primarily the building blocks of marriage. We can practice, as you asked correctly, how do I gain this skill? Start practicing it today. Laila Tov.